In my small group for today, there was myself and David and Jen and Ian, and I'm just going to take you through the planning that we did for our encounter too. So we are going to have our encounter to mid-February because we need 3 months to plan. Yeah. And then we prayerfully decided that the people we're going to invite are our parents. So it was Ian's dad in Scotland and my dad in Manchester and David's dad and mum in Manchester. And then Jen's dad, who's coming over to England around that time. So that's what we planned. And we also decided that we were going to have our encounter too in Manchester. So then Ian's dad would just come down and our parents are there and Jen's dad would fly there because hypothetically, you know, money was no issue. And then we decided we were going to have it in the Peak District in Rachel's home that's there right now, which was a good big space that we could use, but also it was still a home, so it was different from doing it in like a venue or a restaurant. We could have that home feeling. And we were going to handwrite a letter to our parents inviting them to come, and it was going to have like a little wax stamp with the shofar sign on it, and it would say like, you're cordially invited by your children, and we would attach a menu with our parents' favorite food in it, so we would have already done like a personal touch. I hope you guys have got into this detail too, because if not, and then we're also going to put some scripture at the top of the scripture, and Jen's going to tell us what the scripture is.
So we were going to include Exodus 20 verse 12 in our invitation, which says, honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. Yeah.
And thank you, Jen. And then we're also going to do our follow-up, which is going to be... we're going to invite them to a monthly small group that's going to be held in Manchester, and whichever practically works for us, one of us would go and facilitate that. And we're all really excited about this and hope it actually happens. So.
And while we were doing it,
oh, yeah, sorry. And while we were planning this, Ian's mum actually called and Jen's dad sent a picture of Jen's mum's garden. So, yeah, we're pretty sure this is going to happen in February. So, yeah, that's it. Anybody want to match that? No, I'm joking.
Ours is a bit more less theoretical and more practical in the sense that it's something that we actually are currently doing at the moment. So I'm busy running an Encounter 2 series, but via the home group mechanism. So just as a practical example, next week the session is on the Father's Table. So we've thought of the idea of generating specific videos for each person who attends, and then just inviting them for a meal, like a practical demonstration of the Father's Table prior to actually starting that section of the Encounter series. Just as one other thing just to say, the reason why we've chosen to do like a home group in terms of Encounter 2 is I sometimes find that time is a very weird concept here in the UK. It's very different to time in South Africa, and I don't know why that is. So this is something that we're trialing at the moment just to see how it works. So far, so good. We're on section 2, moving on to section 3 next week, and as I've said, it's the Father's Table. So that's just practically how we're going to do that. In terms of celebration, sometimes I find, as people move throughout the week, Life has a way of chomping people up and spitting them out. Mm-hmm. And so when they come on a Wednesday, just to make sure that you're actually imparting words back into them in form of, speaking life-giving words into them in form of celebration specific to that person, just so that it allows them to be built up as they go out and as they are in the workplace. They've got that scripture to go with them. Because obviously on a Sunday you've got church. You just need that extra booster in the middle of the week just to celebrate them and to speak and impart life specifically into them. And to obviously always be in prayer so you know what that word is that they actually need. And then presentation, heart encounter. I can't remember what we said about that. Any thoughts?
No, it's just the follow-up.
So just in terms of the following week, obviously just, as I've said, just prayerfully being mindful of those people. And inviting them back again, just making sure that you're preparing each week to receive that person. I think, people really love it, as Hercules and David and Carlos have covered today. When they feel valued, when they feel welcomed, like you prepare this place for them, they remember that relationship, they remember that encounter, and they return the following week. Thank you.
Okay, so our small group was myself, Sally, Milani, and Melanie. Do you know how difficult it is, Milani and Melanie all in one? Your guys. So ours was not specific like the Manchester small group. It was more of a general idea. But I think we built on like an example of like the scaffolding of a single mom's group and how we can cater to their needs as someone who does not have someone else to help out with childcare or likewise. So our thing was to first pray in advance. And we mentioned, with the Awakening when they had the book, the bookmarks where they have a scripture specific for that person. I just know for me when I went to those kind of events, knowing that someone prayed for me specifically and like called me out by name as like, this is your scripture. I just know how invited and welcomed I felt. And I think that would be great to like have that for an encounter too. Ask God why. And put that in the picture as well. In terms of preparation, we thought of a family home. I think with home as being the title of Encounter 2, the image I had was a coffee corner when you're in, I don't speak well in front of the mic, sorry, but with like couches and blankets, and we just actually just have a conversation about stuff. It's not, it's not something formal. It's just an informal event. And then with regards to reception, I think the biggest thing was to plan around people. It's not always easy for people to come on a Saturday that's specific. Yes, we need to let people know, hey, we're having this. But I think we need to be mindful of the people we're inviting. We mentioned single moms. And I think we need to accommodate the fact that they can't spend 3 days away from their kid. And I think that we mentioned maybe doing it in like time sessions. But when we advertise it, hey, listen, we will have babysitters on grounds for your child. These are the babysitters. They are DBS checked. Here are the numbers. You can meet with them. Here are their cell phone numbers. So that they actually don't have an excuse to not come. so that's the other thing. And then just with the practical thing, just following up with people who have come, and hopefully the people who've invited those said people would take ownership of the invitee, I think is how you say it. Just filling in the gap with that, make sure that people don't fall through the gaps with, after the encounter too. That at the end of encounter, end of encounter one would have a promotional video or testimonials about the encounter two, just to prepare everyone who's come from encounter one into encounter two to know what to expect, to you know, to kind of just stir up a desire to be like, okay, cool, I really want to do this. This looks amazing. And it's not going to be like, oh, I have to spend 3 days like at church. Oh my word, I don't have time for this. It's more of, actually, that's something I've been praying for God to administer, and I need actually to go there and get it sorted out. So I think promo videos would be a great help. Lots of writing, says. Yeah, I've got childcare. Yeah, celebration was just, we need to be purposeful in our reinforcement of who that person is. And I think we need to make it specific so that person feels like this is a home, this is a family. And we, you know, we talk a lot about this being a safe space, and this is just a practical method in doing that. So we need, I think I really like what Christy said, and just mentioning something during the week and be like, listen, I'm really thinking of you, I'm praying for you, here's a scripture. And, you know, making them feel like someone's been mindful of them. Presentation. Yeah, establishing what needs to be enforced for that person when they take it home. That's, yeah, it's not a specific one, but it's a general idea.
Okay. Wonderful. Okay. The other groups, we'll see if we can get at the end. Is there any groups left? Is there only one? Okay, but then come and do that. Come and do it. We can't. Dong, just come and do it. You'll be brief, I know. Straight to the point. I thought there was many groups left.
So ours is also very theoretical. So we talked about, so first of all, the team facilitating, obviously knowing what the Father wants to communicate through Encounter 2, which for us was the role of someone within the church family, and start praying for who to invite. And that's in terms of the preparation work. Like for me, that's so Encounter 2 follows up from Encounter 1, and so someone should have done Encounter 1, and there might be sort of consolidative work that you do after that. So as part of getting them ready for Encounter 2. And in terms of the sort of receiving them, we thought it would be good if somehow we can sort of meet up with them beforehand and even get an invite into their homes to try and learn as much as possible about sort of what blesses them, and in terms of like say food or courtesy or something, so that we can really work that into our hospitality package. We should think about what we say in our welcome beforehand, and also even sort of like how we dress, and sort of like what element of touch, and sort of so to be able to make some opportunities to find out about what bless them before, and have a really professional setup when we sort of have all the media stuff ready. Like what I like doing, so hopefully that feeds into the celebration and the presentation, and then afterwards we need to be praying about what follow up. And something we want to try and do is to encourage them to become members if they feel, and have encourage them with a membership celebration service in the near future, hopefully. That's it.
He's looking for approval, yeah. Say something, Charlotte.
Can you ask the leaders of the groups to just send a summary of an email to the office?
Guys, yeah, I think you get the gist of it. For us, it's important that we think differently about events, okay? It's not just an event. It's a discipleship tool. I can tell you, most of the discipling that I've done is through events, through, you know, even volunteering. When people come to volunteer, you know, and you use the opportunity to speak into their lives. Okay, every opportunity that you have to speak into someone's life, you must use it. Okay, and it's important that you, you share something of yourself. I'll be quick through this one. Just the next slide, Dong, please. These are a few things that we normally use with events organizing. there's about, I think, also 5 steps that you go through when you do it. And I'm just going to mention it. I've sent the PowerPoint slides to you guys so that you can go and work it through at home. But the first one, is that the first one, Dong? Conceptualizing meeting. Just go back. Conceptualizing meeting. So when you organize an event, you start with a conceptualizing meeting, and this is where you get to the Christ encounter part. Okay, this is where you go and sit around with people that together with you have a passion for this ministry and for this event, and you guys brainstorm together and you use the ideas of the people so that together you can go forward in you know, embracing the heart of the event. Okay, the objectives, you decide on what will be the objectives, and take who's going to take lead and ownership of certain areas. Next one. So this will be your first coming together. Then the next one is the events plan. For those of you that's in the business or in the marketing place, just quickly, events plan. It's like a business plan. It's a brief summary of what you want to do with an event, which means that you are going to actually just give a description, objectives, and tasks, fields, leaders, and line functions, that who's going to take responsibility of what, you know, logistics and budget. Normally, budget is a big thing in the ministry because we must be a lot more creative when it gets to ministry stuff because we don't have money. Okay, so you'll see we already lots of money. But why I'm saying that is we always have more plans than we have money. Okay, so in ministry, even though we've got money, we always have money. That's amazing. God always provides. It's just that our ideas just never stop. So what I want you to encourage you is just use, you know, means of, you know, people's creativity and contributions more, in because that again helps people to take ownership. Okay, but you need to get then the responsibilities right. Just make sure who's going to take ownership of what. Okay, the next one after the events plan is the operations plan, which means that on the day, who's going to take responsibility of what, and people try to put this on paper, even though it's a small event. It helps you to, at the end, not be the nerve end of the event, which means that everything is turning around you. And if you are taken out of the process, everything falls apart. Okay? If you put it on paper, it allows two things to happen. The first thing is you can give it to, you can do much more, because people can take responsibility, but you can also divide the event in smaller, more sizable bites for people that can actually volunteer. Because remember, you mostly are working with volunteers, people that don't have, you know, a full-time capacity to help you. They've got a job, which means that they've got a few hours available. And if you break down an event into specific job descriptions within the event, it helps them to actually buy in and say, okay, but I can do that. I can do the marketing part of this event. Okay, I'll make sure to get the Facebook thing sorted. I'll get the, you know, the announcement in the Sunday announcements. But if you ask a person to do the whole event, they're not necessarily going to help you and volunteer. So I've just seen, if you're clear about job descriptions and what that entails, more people sign up to help. Okay, because they like also the security of knowing exactly what you want them to do. So if you put it on paper, it's much easier to also train people because they know exactly what they should do, and they can do a tick list, okay, of things that you're expecting of them. Okay, it also protects relationships. I've seen a lot of relationships going sour within events and ministries, because we don't communicate well. And then people make certain assumptions about your intentions. And, well, if you have it on paper and you say from the beginning, listen, this is what we are expecting of you, it helps people to actually count the cost beforehand and make sure, okay, I'll commit myself to that. I'll make sure that I'm on time and that I actually get to do the job. Okay. So please, guys, I've just seen putting it on paper helps people really to commit and to know what they commit for. And it's not vague because when they are volunteers, many times people, it becomes very vague, okay? And then people start to not pitch up and you will get frustrated because why? I've asked you to do it and you don't do it. You understand what I'm saying? So please, rather, let's protect the relationships and get this going. And then the next one.
I just want to add to what he said now is that the thing is that we don't really need ministry leaders. Ministry leaders is the right word, but what I'm trying to say is that I think if there's a champion or a leader that's taking responsibility, then there's not only, like Hercules said, one person running around and if you, like he said, doing it in bits, you know, then there's, we saw it now with the hosting. I think Sally, you say it one, or we said it all on one Sunday, because we're a whole team now already, then you don't feel guilty if you're not doing, you know, that specific Sunday because there's a other person running around. And I think that is the reason for us to get to a place of somebody that's taking ownership, but you're not doing all the work. You have volunteers around you to help you so that everyone has their turn when it's their turn and that it's only one person that's running around and doing everything, you understand? So it's just to make it lighter for everyone if there's bits of everyone helping, you know, towards that. But there's one person taking the lead, and that's important because if we have five bosses, then it's not going to work. You understand?
Yeah. Just, guys, this last part is actually important. Just think about media requirements, logistical needs, but strike down plan. What I've many times seen people getting frustrated in church is that after a meeting, you say to them, please just stay behind so that we can clear up. And they thought they were going to leave at 5. Are you with me? That frustrates people. Rather have a strike plan beforehand, which means that you already say to people, okay, will you, before leaving, will you just make sure that the dishes are sorted? Okay? Will you just make sure to pack up the kiddies' toys? If you have a strike down plan, people know already beforehand that that they need to help with the strike down, and they prepare for that in their expectation as well, which means that the job will be done quickly. Everyone will know what to do. Otherwise, you always sit with a problem. You are running around to do everything, and people don't know what they can help with. They actually want to help, but they don't know what to do. And then you take 2 hours longer, and that frustrates people. Okay, because they actually want to help, but they don't know what to do. If you do it beforehand, then it's quickly. Okay, then we've got 10 minutes, and everyone just do their little bit, and we sort it. Okay, so please plan for that. Then the next phase, next slide, is the execution part. Just want to mention there, guys, you must train people if you want them to do a job, right? Just make sure to, you can't expect them to know what to do, okay? Make sure to, beforehand, and an operations plan is actually a perfect way to already use as a structure to train as well, because you need to then talk to the person about what are you going to wear on the day, what is the expectation, because the objectives are already in the logistics plan, in the operations plan. So operations plan always help with training. The discipleship we did speak about this morning, and then just crisis management. Guys, if you don't plan well for an event, then crisis management will be the basic stuff. And when the crisis has come, you can't deal with that because you're busy sorting out basics, which means that you didn't think of coffee. Now you're running around crisising coffee before people come, rather than that was sorted beforehand. And if the PowerPoint is not working, you can rather get to what is really a crisis, and that's the technical stuff. Okay, do you understand what I'm saying? I've been in many churches. I walk in the church and then I see the pastor is running around. That means that pastor did not plan well. Okay? Because you should even plan for crisis. You as the events organizer or the ministry leader must be available for people to minister to them and to let them feel welcome. You must do the hosting part. Are you with me? But you can't again do it if you don't plan well. Okay, then the next one after the is the post-event meeting. It's, guys, make sure to celebrate what God has done. The reason why God is so focused on thanksgiving is not so that He gets thanked. It's so that we remind ourselves about the goodness of God. When we thank God for what He has done in our lives, it's probably the best part of reflection for us as humans, because we actually go and sit down and think, okay, what has God done in my life? That's why testimonies are so important. We need to reflect on what happened. And many times we run from the one event to the other and we don't reflect on what actually was blessed about this event. I'm not talking about, you know, the mistakes that we've made, because that's also good to talk about, you know, what can we improve on. But that's for me not the most important thing. The most important thing is actually the celebration part, because guess what? If you're not going to appreciate the people even that was in your team, next time you're going to get no volunteers for the next one. Okay, people always come back if it was a pleasant experience. Part of your testimony must be that the volunteer actually enjoyed being with you and enjoyed doing this job. So make it fun for them as well. When they arrive, have coffee ready for them as facilitators. Okay? Have a chocolate ready for them. Okay? Let them tell their jokes and their stories. Okay? So please, guys, it must be fun to be part of the church. Okay, guys, we so focused sometimes and so spiritual that we forget that this is a journey. It's an amazing experience of, you know, serving the one that made us to be joyful. Okay, so let's make it nice. And then, I think that's it. Eh? That's the last one. Okay, so that's not a crash course into events organizing, but guys, there's a lot more. I usually do this in 4 hours at MTP, so I'm not going to be able to go into detail with these things, but I think it's a good platform for us to start the conversation with. Let's think differently about the way in which we organize events and organize our ministries, so that we can actually disciple people and raise them up to next time do the event themselves. You must always work yourself out of a position. Are you with me? Which means that if you're a small group leader, you multiply yourself, which means that you're busy working yourself out of a position. There must be a next small group leader that you're busy raising up. There must be a next media person that you're raising up. There must be a next kiddies church. Okay, we should not, you know, stay in the same position for the next 10 years. We should raise up people to fulfill the functions that we offer, because it's helping them to develop as well. Okay, to give them ownership of the vision. Okay, I want to just quickly go through a few practical things on support from this side that we want to talk about. And I need that cable now, Carlos, please. Okay, it's not now. computer is busy freezing. Okay, let's just quickly start with, there's a few things that I just want you to be aware of when you run a ministry in Shofar. You can use these things. So I'll quickly just show you something that I don't even know if you guys know about this. On SharePoint. We have branding tools. I know for the media, guys, that's going to be involved with the media. I think, Ian, you already know about these ones. Sorry, I just want to... So I'm not going to get into the branding, but let's get to the marketing and production. So there's for all the ministries, different media resources that you can use, okay? And if you can't access it, rather speak to us so that we download it for you, or that we try to get you to log in. I'm just going to show you, for instance, let's go to the Children's Church. There's anything from the logos, slides that you can use, signage. There's even things like classroom rules. I just want to... Hey, let's just quickly. English would be best, eh?
Yes. Yes.
Okay, this is now the rules of the classes, for instance. Put your hands up if you wanna speak. Everything was thought of. These classroom rules. Even things like admin. Carlos, can you just get me that yellow box quickly? Just unplug it there.
Okay.
Because I think it's just too far. SharePoint is Office 365's platform to share documents in groups of people. So if you have access and you follow that certain grouping, which means, you know, if you're Children's Church, we can help you to get listed on that group, then you can access those documents. It's just like Google Drive, Google Drive or OneDrive, but you've got access to it, and then you at least can. And if we struggle to get even access to you guys, we can download it for you, that you have everything, and just put it on a stick or whatever. But I just want, for the purposes of today, I want to make sure that you guys know that it is available, because I think you are redeveloping a lot of stuff that is already available. And that you can so easily, let's see if I'm on the, yeah. Okay, looks like my internet is not helping me here. There's such beautiful resources that I and now it's taking so much time. And now none of them can open. Can you believe it? I think just on a practical level, guys, if for the next few months, if you start to work on your ministries, start to speak to us about resources available, let's let's start working at a calendar. The other thing that I just want to mention to you guys on the database, as you've seen, it's a lot better now to make groupings and to communicate from the groupings. Since we already uploaded, I think from both congregation side, Carlos, the data memberships and what the small groups say, it's already at Guildford side already uploaded as well. The small groups, it's already okay. So it's a lot easier these days to actually run communication from the database, and that we can use that. So you'll see a lot of the communication that we take toward you guys at this stage comes from the database, and it comes from the events that we've registered on the database, which at this stage we can manage most of the communication. Okay, so as you are busy working on your different ministries, just make sure to keep that in mind, because you can start groups and then communicate to those groups from the database, which is a lot easier than to reinvent the wheel again and get Excel sheets or whatever going. Okay, any questions? Okay, are you still awake? Just quickly stand up, shake the person next to you. Okay, quickly run to the toilet if you need to. And then Carlos will be continuing with his session.